Welcome to the Tax Break Breakdown with your hosts, Greg and Doug. Sit back and relax while they review current and upcoming child care tax credit programs employers can take advantage of. Now, on to the show.
Here we go. This is episode one. Welcome to the Tax Break Breakdown with your hosts, Greg and Doug. This is exciting, Doug. This is our first episode.
It is.
One of many. I think there's a ton of topics that we're going to be able to cover. I think that's going to be cool. But for the first episode, it's probably important that we talk about why we're doing this.
Yeah, I think that probably is important.
From Doug and I's perspective, we are both tech entrepreneurs in SaaS, working in the childcare space and the childcare industry. I think more important, though, Doug and I are very, very similar. We're not going to get into all of it, right? There's probably so
but
many.
We got to there's a lot of synergy here. Yeah.
And I think, though, one of the main things that we have in common is we love to save money. We love to see where the loopholes are and how do we actually take advantage of what's actually out there. And I think when you look at least in the childcare industry, which we both work in, there's 21 states that have tax credit programs. But I think everybody knows just how complicated they are. You've read some, I've read some. It's insane how they put this together and the restrictions, but the money is there. You just have to know how to get to it. And so our goal for this is really, we want HR teams, operations teams, companies that are looking to add a childcare benefit, if they're exploring it, to just know that these dollars are out there and maybe provide ways for people to get access to them.
Yeah, there's a lot of help that's out there. Getting it is difficult, as you said, most of the time, and not just the organizations, but the families as well. We're dads. We have children that have childcare. We incur that expense. We have to deal with it when people get sick. And it affects all industries. I would say we're probably pretty fortunate, but there's a lot of industries out there where frontline workers don't always have the same flexibility that we do working in the tech space. And this is where I think it can make such a big impact, especially in industries that, maybe it's a little bit more of a hurdle to get over to get something in place.
Yeah. So this being our first episode, how do you see this playing out for?
Well, I know we have a really exciting program to talk about tonight, right? In a state that's dear to my heart for many reasons. But I think, like you said,
one of the reasons is your favorite taco shop.
My favorite taco shop, Taco and Burrito Place, 40th and Keystone. If you haven't been there, highly recommend it. Reached out to try to get a sponsorship for this, but it was a little late in the game. But so unpaid, just pure recommendation there for anybody in Indianapolis. But like you said, there's 21 states that have this out there. There's federal programs, right? There's local programs. I think every 2 weeks, we're gonna pick a program, and we're gonna go through it in detail and cover, how easy is it to apply? How much funds are available? When are the deadlines? What can you even use it for? And I think most importantly, when we're talking about this organization is what the impact can be, not just on the employee population, but for the organization as well. And I think that's where it gets really excited, really exciting, not excited. I'm excited about it. It's exciting to think about those things. And I think, we'll fold in some parenting topics. Obviously, we work in the space. We have the fortune of being able to run these programs, help get these programs set up for organizations, and really just try to bring it to the forefront so that everybody can benefit from these resources that are out there.
Yep. It's very similar to what I do in my daily life on the consumer side. So you know me, coupons, double couponing. Have you heard of the extension Honey?
Yeah.
Join Honey. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I've saved a ton of money there. Trying to find promo codes.
Does your quest to save lead you to spending more?
Probably. Yeah, of course. I mean, you got Costco. You got to get that 2% back.
This is my entire wardrobe right now is Costco at this point.
We've already dropped three names, and this is the first episode. Well, let's jump into the next part, which I do think it'd be interesting to do a stat of the week. So, for those that are not familiar, there's a coalition out there, organization called Motherly, and they launched their 2023 report. And one stat I found fascinating, 58% of women stated that childcare was the number one reason why they would not return or could not return or had to leave the workforce. So, I mean, that's extremely powerful. If we could be of any help, be an ally, it's giving other organizations and people just the awareness that this exists. Because I think some HR teams don't.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, I mean, we hear it constantly through the organizations we deal with, and you know, in the past as I've worked in the HR space, is it's hard for people going through that transition, especially first time parents, especially single income households. There's a lot we can do and a lot of resources out there. So, without further ado, should we jump into it?
Yeah. All so, right. We're going to get into Indiana. Indiana actually launched this. I want to say. Was it a couple months ago or maybe a couple weeks ago? But I don't think the awareness of it was.
It was announced, but the details of it, I think, really came out late. And it's interesting because the deadline for it, which is tied to the funding source, is December 15th. Yeah, that's 8 days away. So we're chasing a little bit on this one. But the really nice thing here is it's very expansive. It's easy to apply. Very simple eligibility. So we're going to go through that in detail. If you're not taking advantage of this already, like there's actually still time to get in under the window because it's not going to take a huge lift to get things together.
Yep. And if you're just listening to this, we're going to post this as well so you can watch it because we're going to share our screen. The application, I think, is only maybe 6 pages, and there's like maybe 5 or 6 questions each on each page, if that. And so this one, compared to others that we've seen, is, I mean, far better just from the impact that it could have. And we look at impact from who's eligible, like what are they considering eligibility, what can you spend it on, and then just the overall application, like was it easy? In this case, they have a landing page that is segmented by the main questions that you need to know. There was
think would be like table stakes in this, but this is actually right. Like the reason why we're shocked by this is most don't have this. So right. so kudos to the state of Indiana for getting that together.
And I believe it was the Office of Early Childhood and Out of School Learning Office.
Yep.
So for each of the state programs, and it could be a state program we're going to talk to, there's grants that are out there. We're going to be focusing specifically on the employer programs. There's a ton of government programs, but we will not be touching on that side of it. I think we're going to be focusing on the employer side. So for this one, we gave it a 9 out of 10 for impact and a 9 out of 10 for ease of application. First episode, biggest score, probably going to be hard to do.
It's going to be a while before we get to this level. And I think that's why we wanted to start here, obviously, because of the timeline. But also, this is amazing. And hopefully more states continue to follow suit with these types of programs.
I think it's I do see states copying each other. So, for example, Michigan, 2 years ago, started the TriShare program. It's actually part of this program, too, the TriShare. And TriShare, for those that don't know, employer pays 30%, family pays 30%, government pays 30%. That can create a sustainable model when you're trying to just solve the affordability problem. If everybody chips in 30%, that can actually create a sustainable model. I know other states that are looking at it. I know I'm forgetting off the top of my head, but there's several other states that are looking at TriShare, and even state of Indiana has it as part of this program. So I think why we scored it so high, First of all, the eligibility. Employers that have 20 employees qualify. And even if you don't have 20 employees, you can band together multiple employers to just get above 20.
And it's 20 employees in the state of Indiana. So even for a company citist outside of Indiana, if you have 20 or more employees in Indiana, you can apply for this to deliver this to a child care benefit in the state.
Yep. Things to keep in mind, it excludes current child care operators, so only businesses. Mm-hmm. And you have to have a project plan, and you have to agree that you're going to contribute at least 10%. So, I mean, that is fair.
I mean, 10% is, we look at, I think Kentucky had a program. I know we've looked at it in Iowa. It's normally what we've seen is closer to a 50% match. So this is actually a really exciting way. Yeah, it's incredibly reasonable. When you look at it, you're going to put, potentially, let's call it $100,000 benefit, right, in to impact your employees. The cost to you is going to be 10 grand. Right. That's the that is, if you could do that with any benefits program, I think you'd probably jump at it from this side. So let's get into the details of it. Let's talk about where it came from. Let's talk about, we can go again through the eligibility, but let's talk about what can it be used for, right? Because at the end of the day, we talk about child care benefits. It's a broad category. Some may be experienced with it, some may not. So I think that's where, we can spend a lot of time digging into it. But let's talk about where it came from. So, Greg, you mentioned this came through the Early Childhood and Out-of-School Learning Program, our department in the state of Indiana. And really what it's looking to target is helping, families get consistent childcare, especially when it comes to boosting the workforce, but also just working on access in areas, because access is tough, right? Supply and demand is constantly changing. Kids are aging into the school age population. We don't have even universal pre-K set up yet. So what do we do in those areas? And how do we make sure that that stat that we talked about for Motherly is that people don't have to make that decision, right? Yep. They don't have to turn around and go, I'm not coming back to the workforce. So what this is, right, the opportunity is for employers to kind of step up and kind of take this role of helping support their employees in the workforce, right? Bringing those outside of the workforce back into the workforce, right? By giving a benefit through multiple avenues that we'll go through that actually helps them afford access childcare, right? And this is a $25 million innovation grant fund. And so it's there to be used. We'll go through the caps. But it's an amazing opportunity for employers that are looking to support not just their workforce, not just their employees, but their communities as well.
Yep. And so this, again, for those that are watching, this is the website, and it actually, again, it's clearly laid out, how you're going to apply. They had webinars that happened, and there's even ones that are on demand. They have a whole section on just the overview, which we just went through, eligibility, the expenses, how to apply, the award amounts, and then a great FAQ section. And so, again, from a ease of application and understanding, this has been by far one of the best that I've seen. When we look at eligibility, so we mentioned a business or company, 20 employees, or band together.
Yep.
At least 20 in the state of Indiana.
Yeah, you got to get 20 people together through some sort of loose association. You can apply for this grant. Also, community-based nonprofits can band together. So very flexible in how this can go into place. And we'll see that the funding amounts are actually tied to the amount of employees. So the more employees you have, the greater the grant that you can be awarded. We'll touch on that. Let's talk about what you could use it for, right? So I think almost if you're a company in Indiana, you're eligible, right? Let's just say that, right? Your business, you have employees, you're eligible. If you don't have 20 employees, go next door, talk to the business next door, get them. You got to grab three or four. You can apply for this together, right? So eligibility, like, we're there. Let's talk about what we can use it for. Starting at the top, sponsoring dependent care assistance plans, right? Putting money in a DCAP. There's some limitations here, both in how families use it and how much money you can put in annually, where there's no tax consequences, but it is tax advantage for the employee. So huge value, common thing. Little bit of a barrier to using it, right? Especially if we look at frontline industries. I know from my experience, Greg, I think you can speak to this as well. It's sometimes a little bit harder to understand. You got to go through the workflow, this reimbursement process, which
The
reminds
double
me.
dipping, the
Which
double
reminds me,
dipping
my
is.
youngest got tubes in his ears today, and I need to file an HSA
Yep.
claim and submit my DCAP. But yeah, so like, but again, right? Easy pass-through systems in place if you have a DCAP set up today for your employees. Now again, we're kind of through the open enrollment window for a lot of organizations. Is this going to be the widest like utilized option here? I don't know, but. It's here. It's not always on the list.
When someone can make this much easier to use, it's going to be so powerful. Just because for those that don't know, on a DCAP, it's pre-tax. So from a household perspective, let's say they contributed 2,500, they're going to deduct that from your adjusted gross income. So you're not paying tax on that. But then on the other side, for the employer, you're not going to pay the 7.65 FICA tax. So for every $1,000, you're getting back $76 for every $1,000 that you donate. Like, imagine that adds up. There's like very little, there's not many other benefits that when you pay for them, you can actually get money back. Like, this is one. The next would be providing on-site or near-site childcare. So this would be partnering with somebody down the street in the neighboring community, building an on-site center, supporting your on-site center, again, coordinating with local other near-site childcare. And when we look at this, it says companies provide space and contract with a childcare provider to operate the program.
And I think one of the things that calls out there too is employers often choose to subsidize tuition costs
Yes.
for priority employee groups. And this is the one thing, I mean, I've seen it across the country, you know, place builds an on-site center. They don't subsidize the cost, and it doesn't affect the employee populations that you're wanting it to affect. Like to me, like if
Yep.
you're going to do this, you're going to commit to either it's you know, a full center dedicated to an employee group or group of employers, you know, or you know, even just seats. Subsidizing tuition is almost required for it to make the impact that I think that people want it to have.
Yeah. There was I was recently talking with an employer. They had, I want to say, over 18,000 employees across about seven states. They had two on-site centers, one in Portland and one in Detroit. The Portland one was being pretty well utilized by their employees. The Detroit one, however, was actually used more by the community versus the employees at the facility that work there. And part of it is cost. Like an on-site center, especially when you're looking at a entry to mid-level income manufacturing frontline worker, centers, unless you're heavily subsidizing,
I
it's
mean,
hard.
around the country, like you're around $1,200 a month at best, right? You look at somebody
Yeah.
working, you know, on a line or an hourly worker making $20 an hour, which doesn't, I mean, historically, you look at minimum wage, they're federally still what, 725, you know, around there,
Yeah.
right? Like
Yeah.
you think like that's a decent wage, $1,200, that goes fast, right? I mean, it's a significant chunk of their weekly earnings going to childcare at that point.
The next area that you can spend on, this one's interesting. I've never actually seen this, but it's creative. So they're basically saying you can use these funds to establish a priority waitlist partnership. And so I think what this would mean, you're the employer. You may find some childcare providers in the area that are already full, but they're on a wait list. You would essentially use your funds to tell them, hey, I'm gonna like prepay in advance for wait list fees just so that my employees can get on that program. And so you're helping your employees kind of skip the line, and you're paying for it, but you're gonna pay for it through this innovation grant that you're getting. Is that how you're reading it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what I've seen before, right? The challenge here is administration. Like, who are you partnering with? Like, what are those programs? Are they broad enough? Are they located in the areas? Like, to me, this is it's a great thing to be able to do, especially for employees, but it needs to be attached to something else. Like, I don't think it's like a fully fleshed out solution. The nice thing here is that it's eligible, right? And that's what we're looking for, because something like this could be part of a solution that you need in an area. Can be a
Especially
way to help
rural
support
areas.
providers, right? Consistency, different types of programs, especially after school programs, they get full, managing the waiting lists, especially if people are becoming first-time parents. Infant spaces are always the hardest to get in daycare. So that's, I see the value in it. I don't think it's a complete option, but it's a good option.
I just think it's creative, right? Like the Normally, what I've seen from states is like it has to be licensed. It has to have four walls and two things. Like it was very, very specific, and they excluded a lot of these things. Like, and so the fact that they recognize that they likely have childcare deserts, so supply is a problem, and they know that waitlisting is a big barrier. And so if they can give their employers in the state some advantage, then the funds can be used for that. So I'm reading it.
Yeah, and as it dug into this, right? Like, the providers that are eligible, it's licensed facilities or programs that are otherwise certified through the state of Indiana. So it means that we're not just focused on licensed daycare facilities and like licensed in-home daycares, right? There are other programs, right, that are certified by the state of Indiana that this can be used for, which, again, broad, creative, what you want to see in a program like this to maximize the impact in a short amount of time.
Next one is hits at the heart of affordability.
Offering tuition benefits. If you want to see an impact, right? We've seen this play out time and again, Greg, right? Is help fund childcare. The broadest definition possible. It makes such a big difference. It improves. What it does when you focus on the affordability aspect like this, either reimbursing parents directly for care or funneling that money directly to providers and subsidizing care. And I would argue the first one's more expensive because most people have some sort of childcare set up today. So when you try to force them into a box, then you may not be equitable in how people benefit from it. You really want to give the flexibility in how they can utilize it. But what it does is it allows you to really maximize the use of all available childcare supply in an area. It wouldn't be eligible for this, but we've seen it, through programs that we've helped stand up, like even leveraging, friends and family network and grandma or aunt or neighbor who's watching a kid in a backup scenario, can be an incredibly powerful thing, and help bridge that gap. But I mean, this is where like this component almost needs to be there in some fashion of any program for it to truly reach, I think the impact that we want to see.
Well, I think there was a really great talk from a gentleman that I saw through the Bipartisan Policy Center. His name was Dr. Dolan, and he had talked about when you're looking to solve this problem, there's five areas that you have to consider and in order. So first is affordability. The next is proximity. So affordability, can my employees afford it on the income that they have? Generally, rural areas, $36,000 a year is reasonable. So can they actually afford the childcare at that income level? The next is proximity. So if they can afford it, is it actually close? And what they found in their research was employees that were traveling an hour to the plant, they told the employer that they'd be willing to drive 15 minutes max outside of their already where they're going. Otherwise, it's not going to work for them. So affordability is number one. Number two is proximity. If you can pay for it and it's close, the next question then, the accessibility. So are they open during the times that I need? So if you can afford it and it's close and they meet your hours, the next is availability. Like, do they even have spots? So if you can afford it, it's close, it meets the hours, and then it's open. The last part is quality. So does this match with the quality that my kid deserves? That's going to help with, you know, their learning. And so affordability, like, you can't get to quality until you address affordability. So you have to do those in that order. With this one, with the offering tuition benefits, the way that they write it in here, it says that in this model, employers set the parameters for how and where employees can use it. And they gave an example. Mm-hmm. I'm reading this as that's just one example. There's other ways that they can provide tuition benefits. So it's not just childcare tuition discounts offered for families enrolling in licensed high care programs, right? It could be home daycares.
Could be home daycares. It could be after school programs. Like there's a lot of flexibility in the wording, digging deeper into the program and the requirements. It really comes back to, you know, what I said before, like, is it somehow licensed or certified through the state of Indiana? If it is, it's eligible. Right. And that's, again, I think one of the most exciting things about this, and kind of goes into the next, which is reserving seats in local childcare programs. You know, this is, you know, I think a lot of ways, and even we go down to the next one, which is providing backup care options, like they all kind of go hand in hand, right? And this is partnering with centers, home daycares, right, programs that are eligible in the area. And are you holding a seat so that there is access and availability? That reserve seat could be used for full-time care, part-time care, you know, it could be subsidized, you know, to the employee, there could be some cost share. It could be held for backup care, right? So you know that you have a couple spaces available when people's care falls through. You know, administering, you know, these different things can be a challenge, but, you know, providers, networks, you know, are used to this, right? In standing these things up.
The next one is really innovative too. Have you read this one?
The infrastructure one, investments.
It's interesting. Yeah. I wonder how it could play out, but the way that the community infrastructure investments, I think this is obviously targeting supply. So supply is an issue. And so what they're saying is if you, the employer, qualify, you can actually put some of those funds into a shared fund that other employers invest in. And the money is going to target basically increasing capacity. So whether that's the creation of a new program, whether that's getting a licensed home daycare from a medium to a large to however they, you know, determine their sizing, it could be expanding services. It says it could be increasing the provider sustainability, investing in education workforce programs. Like, this is insane. And it's a way, I think, that the state of Indiana, they're giving these options. Like, this is one of the most diverse ways you can use funds, and it's a grant, so you're not paying this back.
Yeah, it's a grant, and I think where we're going to see this come into play is probably more in the nonprofit or community groups, either through a public-private partnership, right? Or I think going through the requirements, as a public entity can band together, or nonprofit band together, can apply for this, and then go find the employers to partner with. So they're trying to really push this funding out, right, and get it impact to the community, which is amazing. And so I think that's where we're going to see that, to see if that takes hold. It's an ambitious thing. Supply is the hardest thing to address, but it's so critical to it. So to have this component there is really exciting.
I'm really interested to see how many people apply. I know there was a couple other states that launched grant programs that they didn't really take off. Like, they were calling around to people to say, hey, like, this money's available. And I think the feedback was, we heard about it, but it was so complex to get to. Like, I'm excited to see, I won't name the state right now, but I'm excited to see. going to take another pass at it.
Yeah,
because a lot of these governors, like, they're already committing these funds, and every test that I have seen has been successful, and they're going back for more funding. It's not like they're not, like, they're stopping the program. So
yeah,
that's why I think this is exciting. If their floor is 25 million, like, imagine when this is successful, it's gonna double, triple over the next 5 years. Why don't you talk a little bit the TriShare programs? This one is a little bit more complicated, but it's interesting.
Yeah, TriShare is a little bit more complicated. You need something to manage it, right? Like, so it's not something in it, like a single employer is typically going to set up. But, right, I think if we look at community groups, we look at regionally, you know, a TriShare administrator, you know, facilitator can come in. And really the goal is, and I think ultimately this is the solution. The path to get there, I think, is through a lot of these options we've talked about above. But the solution at the end of the day is that the government, the employer, and the family each has a stake in, you know, having reliable, licensed childcare for those below school age. And yep. So what a TriShare program is exactly that. It's a structured way for that to happen, where a third of the cost falls on the employer, a third of the cost falls on the family, and a third of the cost is coming from the government. The nice thing with this, if you do a TriShare program here, the government's going to, you know, basically take 90% of that employer cost, I think, through the first funding year with this. And so if you can get it set up, if you have it there, like, I think it's an amazing way to get into that. I think probably for the timeline of this, we're not going to see like a ton of TriShare programs start up, or if they are, they're probably well ahead of us on this measure. But I think it's, again, we look at how comprehensive Indiana was at doing a needs assessment and understanding what the state needs, what the workforce needs, what children need, what childcare providers need, and really including all of these things shows a lot of forethought, and I think bodes well for the future of the state.
Yes. I mean, I know that this is a... it's always been a hot topic. And when I've talked with some people, they always say, like, why isn't the government doing anything about this? And I always get to say, like, you don't see what I see. Like, this is one of the first times that I can actually see people are saying, like, can you do something about this? And I see funding going to it. And I see awards happening. And I see, mm-hmm. like, them not only trying to like on their first go, they may not have got it right, but they're trying again. Like, this is actually one of the things that I can personally see and personally say, you know what, there are, like, give it another 3 to 5 years, there's going to be a flood of new programs, and that'll give us more episodes. One of the other things when we talk about eligibility, so they have a tiered system. So the max is $750,000. All the way down to 20 employees. And again, you can combine this with other employers.
Yeah. So if you have 1,000 employees, is that first tier. That's a pretty low hurdle for that top tier from what we've seen.
I do wonder how many. I mean, it is. And so if you have 1,000 employees, you can get an award cap up to $750,000. That is crazy. If you have between 500 and 999, it's $350,000. If you have between 250 and 499, 200,000, 100 to 249 is 100,000, 50 to 100 employees is still $50,000. Like, mm-hmm. let's do a quick exercise here. Okay,
yeah.
Doug?
Yeah.
So if you have 99 employees.
This is going to be math.
This going to be math. 99 employees. Let's assume 40% have kids. That's 40%.
Of 99 employees?
Right? So about 40 employees.
Yeah.
40 employees, because not everybody has kids. And so 40 employees, if you're going to give them, let's just say, give 250 a week.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do a little bit, 125 a week times 12. You can give all 40 employees $125 a month. It's about 60,000. So you pay 10,000.
Yep.
The government's paying 50,000. So this is getting 40 of your employees $125 a month. That's going to be at least 10, 15% maybe of their cost. But this is like mm-hmm. free money. You just got to fill out the application.
Yeah, it's there. And again, right, that tuition coverage, like, that's the easy, like, this is what we're going to do. This is the impact.
Yeah.
So I think, and quickly, I know we're going to get into the application. A couple of things in researching this, If you have multiple locations in the state of Indiana, you can apply separately or you can apply joint. You can't do both. But you can look at that. So if you're one location and you want to put something like this in place for your one location, like that is a way to do it. It doesn't have to be completely organization wide. And those same thresholds apply.
And again, for those that are watching, this is basically the application process. You're going to log in, access the grant portal, you're going to review eligibility, which we already talked about. You're going to select your application track. So they have a group application and then a single employer. So if you're multiple employers, you're going to go for the group application. If you're just a single employer, you're going to do the single. And then it's going to ask some questions. So there's about eight sections.
Eight sections, six questions on this page. Really just basic organization information here, and what childcare benefits that are in place today. Probably take you about 3.5 minutes to answer these six questions. I did not time that specifically, but that's my scientific estimate at this point.
I think probably a little more than 3.5 minutes, only because here's one example of a question. Describe the barriers that prevent you from offering or expanding childcare benefits to meet the needs of your Indiana-based workforce.
Cost.
Easy answer.
Cost.
I don't have the budget.
I don't have the budget approval for it. It's cost, right? Next
Easy.
one.
Next one, describe childcare benefits you currently offer to your Indiana-based workforce. None because of.
Cost.
Please share the methods currently used to collect and monitor your Indiana-based workforce childcare needs. I mean, you probably
Internal
don't
surveys,
because.
probably. Word of mouth. I mean,
That's.
I will say, yeah, it could be pulse surveys, right? Things like that, but it's probably not much beyond that. Some time and attendance if it gets to that level of granularity.
Estimated percentage of Indiana-based workforce with children ages 0 to 12. Here's the thing. You go into your HRIS system and you just filter and you say, hey, show me employees that are on my medical plan with kit with dependents.
Yeah, with
They even give
dependents.
you the number. Pretty
Yeah, you
easy.
don't have it. And
They also say
if you don't
estimate.
and if you don't have that, right? It says estimate. Take your workforce, right? I think the national average, right, is around 33% have children under the age of 12.
Done.
Multiplication, and we're there.
Next
Three and a
page.
half 3.5 minutes.
Next
Book
page. What's your legal name? Street,
it.
like easy stuff. There is nothing
Yep.
here. Primary contact, easy.
Yep.
Next page, allowable expense categories.
These are
I mean, come.
checkboxes. Yeah.
Yes, if
These
you're
are
looking at this
checkboxes. Yeah.
and you're going to check, does it say carefully review? You may only select one category. That's interesting. That's fine. Choose offering tuition benefits. That would be the best. But there are some other interesting ones here, but tuition
If
benefits
you
are
have a
standard.
plan, you know what you want to do, pick that one. If you're not sure, but you want to help your employees, click tuition benefits.
Next is complete the request for funding page. Describe how you propose to use the funds. And here's the thing. This is funny. Responses are limited to 2,000 characters. They don't want you to, like, they want to make this easy.
Somebody has to read these, right?
Yeah, I
Like, I mean,
know.
at the end of the day, like the window closes the 15th. It's in 8 days, right?
Yeah, so
They're
get going.
there.
That's.
Yeah. Like get it in, make it brief. I mean, these are things that like even, like one of our customers come to us, Greg, we would do this with them, right? Like we would fill this
Yeah,
out. Like
one
there's
session.
support out there. I mean, just quickly there, done. We're out the door.
Yeah, if anybody wants a little help, you can reach out to Doug or myself.
Yeah,
The
we'll
next
do
step
it with you.
8, provide a project budget. Okay, this seems pretty straightforward. So if you're offering like it calculates it for you. Literally, you put in, indicate the total percent of your total grant that your request is paid out for the receipt of approved implementation plan. So it's like, hey, when I submit the implementation plan, give me 30%. If you're asking for 100,000, give me 30,000 when I submit a plan. And that's going to be important. You're going to need to think about this. But it's a project plan. And it's not like everything that they're saying here is we're not there's no eagle eyes on it, meaning they understand. And they're asking for estimates. They're asking for project plans. Like they don't, I don't think they're going to expect people to be
project plans, know. Estimates, the 10% that's asked to be cost shared to the employer. It doesn't need to be pre-funded upfront, right? It needs to be tracked through the time, and the funds need to be used, within 12 months. So we're really looking at a year, right? That you're pushing this in place. So it's bracketed. And again, doesn't have to be absolutely down to a T. I think the more comprehensive, compelling it is, great. But at the same time, one of the benefits of being like we're doing tuition benefits is that's pretty streamlined, right? Like how that's going to function.
Step 9, upload letters of support. So it says letters of support are optional. Again, how easy? Like you definitely should consider it. I think it'll make your application stand out. And it says it may include letters from senior executives, childcare providers, or other businesses supporting the plan. But it also says if you do not wish to include any, just click
hit next. Yep.
Then you agree to the terms. The terms are you're certifying that this is the best of your ability.
There's six bullets.
You click yes to. Yeah. And then here's the harder part. Then you got to review it, step 11, and then you click submit. On every page of this application, they have a support email. And they have a local child care resource and referral agency that you can reach out to get help as well. I mean, this is...
Or yell at us. Organized. I mean, like, yeah, we'll walk through it. I mean, this is, again, like, this needs to get used. We want to see this get used, right?
And all the resources are there. We want to hear them say, it is all gone. And we're going to get more. So that is the Indiana program. That's how you apply. That's eligibility. I think we should start wrapping it up here. We went over the award amounts. It's pretty significant. Again, if you have 1,000 employees or more, $750,000 is your cap. And it says once you submit, if you get approved and you submit a plan, the implementation plan, that's 30% you can get up front. You can get $225,000 by doing the plan and submitting it. And you can get moving on this.
I mean, it could be out the door impacting your families by the time we hit January 1st. You could announce it over the holidays. Like, this is such a no-brainer to go and put something in place that's going to impact them. You know, I think, you know, where there's pushback, right, where we've had conversations is like, well, the funding's for 1 year. And I think the one thing, Greg, you and I can speak to is when you put a program in this in place and you see the impact, you'd happily take on 100% of that cost the next year because the ROI is immense. It makes such a difference in the community, to your workforce. It impacts turnover, absenteeism, reduces time to hire, helps you open up talent pools, get people back in the work. Like all of these things, it's amazing.
Keep going.
I can, but you said we're going to wrap it up. So we're going to wrap it up. Things we'll dive into as we keep going down this path and making more episodes of this, assuming anybody watches this one.
Yeah, watch or listen. There is the FAQ section, which has actually a lot more questions. And I just saw one. Mm-hmm. How will applications be reviewed and scored? This is interesting. Applications will be reviewed based on criteria, including but not limited to how they prioritize support for vulnerable family populations, indicate local partnerships and engagement, and offer a plan for sustainability. So when you're filling this out, keep this in mind. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you know, if you're an employer that's in a rural area, you're a vulnerable population. Like this is, it's designed to help support our vulnerable populations. It also, there's all these other questions that it answers. So how long do I have to spend the money? And funds can be used to cover costs incurred up to 12 months after the award is received. That is crazy.
Yep.
Is it considered income? So it says, yes, any awards are considered income and you'll get a 1099 for it. But the OECOSL, they don't provide tax advice, nor do we. but you're going to get a 1099. But listen,
we don't provide that kind of tax advice. We talk about these programs. But yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Still worth it, even if you're going to have to, even if it's going to be taxed. You keep that in mind, though, when in your budget. So when you are doing your budget, keep in mind the tax implications. I think that's it, Doug. I think we nailed it on the first one. I think Indiana was a great way to start this one. It has been one of the best that I've seen over the last 3 years.
If this pops up in every state, it changes like everything, I think, for working parents in the country. So again, right, big shout out to the Hoosier State for getting this in place. For anybody who's tagged along this long, like we said, if you need help, you can reach out to us, reach out to support the state of Indiana, right, the local resources that are available. But get this in place, make an impact, follow the state along on their journey, and it's great.
Cue the outro music. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you in a couple weeks.